In the kingdom of Solas, Penelope Poppy Belfour lives a paradoxical existence. As the maiden, she's simultaneously the most revered and most restricted person in the realm, never to be touched, looked upon directly, or allowed to experience pleasure. Her life is a carefully constructed prison of protocols and isolation. Behind her veil, Poppy bears physical scars from the Kraven attack that killed her parents, and emotional wounds from years of loneliness. Yet she harbors secret rebellions, combat training forbidden to the maiden, sneaking out with her lady's maid Tawny for glimpses of normal life, and, most dangerously, questioning her destiny and the mysterious ascension ceremony that awaits her. What makes her situation truly unbearable is the cruelty beneath the veneer of reverence. The Duke physically punishes her for minor infractions, lords harass her despite sacred prohibitions, and the immortal ascended elite maintain power through fear and religious dogma. In this gilded cage, Poppy's greatest defiance is maintaining her compassion, secretly using her forbidden empathic gift to ease the suffering of the dying, particularly those cursed by Kraven bites who face public burning. How long can someone live as a symbol rather than a person? What happens when the most sacred figure in a kingdom begins questioning everything she's been taught to believe? The red pearl symbolizes everything forbidden to Poppy: pleasure, freedom, normal interaction. When she sneaks into this pleasure house wearing a hooded mask, she encounters a golden-eyed guard named Hawk Flynn who changes everything. Their meeting ignites unprecedented sensations. He tasted of golden liquor, and the sensation of his tongue against mine sent shivers across my skin. Hawk nicknames her Princess while engaging in surprisingly deep conversation. Poppy admits she came to live, to experience, to choose. Days later, Hawk becomes Poppy's personal guard, creating tension between restraint and attraction. He challenges her acceptance of her role, respects her combat skills, and keeps her secrets, including her nighttime defense against Kraven attacks. Their forbidden attraction deepens as they share confidences about loss. When Poppy uses her empathic gift to ease his pain, she creates an intimate bond, transcending physical attraction. Yet beneath lies a devastating truth neither suspects. As Poppy's relationship with Hawk deepens, she increasingly questions the systems controlling her life. The kingdom demands blind faith in the gods, the right, ascension, and their ascended rulers, with questioning branded as dissenter heresy. The right epitomizes this cruelty, forcing families to sacrifice their third children. When the Tullis family begs for their infant's exemption, the Duchess coldly states, "Your son is a gift to the gods, not a gift from them." Poppy notices disturbing inconsistencies. Ascended trigger no emotional response with her empathic gift, as if empty inside. Children given during the rite vanish forever. These observations lead her to realize, perhaps what drives me is simply the desire for choice in a life where I have none. Her crisis peaks during the rite attack, when dissenters shouting, "From blood and ash we will rise," massacre hundreds. Poppy witnesses Ascended with burning eyes enter the Great Hall, after which all screaming suddenly stops. The growing attraction between Poppy and Hawk creates an impossible dilemma. As the maiden, her body belongs to the gods. Any intimacy would make her unworthy for ascension. Yet, as a young woman, she craves their connection. Their relationship progresses through increasingly intimate encounters, each representing Poppy's claim to agency. During the rite celebrations, she acknowledges, "I didn't want him to stop. Gods help me, I didn't." This collision of duty and desire peaks during their journey to the capital. Their encounter in the Blood Forest marks Poppy's significant rebellion, choosing pleasure despite knowing it violates her sacred role. At Havenkeep, Poppy gives herself completely to Hawk. This moment feels destined. I crossed the final forbidden line, not just for Hawk, but for myself. Her choices aren't simple rebellion. She thoughtfully considers the consequences, acknowledging she can no longer be the maiden, not just in body, but in spirit. She plans to speak honestly with the queen, hoping for understanding like her mother, who chose love over ascension. The novel's devastating twist occurs when Poppy discovers Hawk's true identity after he saves her with his blood, revealing he is an Atlantean, one of the kingdom's supposed enemies. The betrayal intensifies when she learns Hawk Flynn was fiction. He is actually Castile Danir, the Dark One, Prince of Atlantia, who manipulated their relationship to kidnap her as leverage to free his captive brother, Prince Malak. Even more shocking, the Ascended aren't divinely blessed, but vampires feeding on innocent blood. Children given during the rite become food, not offerings. The entire religion exists to ensure a steady blood supply. This truth was subtly foreshadowed through the hollow feeling from the Ascended, disappearing children, and puncture wounds inconsistent with Kraven attacks. Her protective kingdom is actually run by monsters safeguarding their food source. The final revelation? Poppy herself is part Atlantean, explaining her empathic gifts and selection as the maiden. Poppy's journey from sheltered maiden to capable warrior unfolds gradually throughout the novel. Initially defined by her ceremonial role despite secret training with Victor, her fighting abilities first emerge during the Queen's Garden attack when she wounds an attacker with a hidden dagger. During the Rite massacre, her warrior spirit fully surfaces as she kills two attackers, shocking those who knew her only as the passive maiden. In the Blood Forest, she fights alongside guards against the Kraven, applying Victor's crucial lesson, never cave to panic. If you do, you die. Her transformation culminates at Haven Keep, where she decapitates an attacker in one clean stroke. This physical evolution mirrors her mental shift from passive acceptance to active questioning. Each time she reaches for a weapon, she rejects imposed helplessness, choosing to fight rather than submit. The novel ends with transformation, not resolution. Poppy stands between worlds, now aware of the truth about the Ascended, Atlanteans, and her mixed heritage. Castile recovers and reveals their next step. They're going to Atlantia to marry, as Atlanteans can only marry in their homeland. With a dimpled smile, he calls her his princess and announces they're going home. This forced engagement represents cruel irony. Poppy has escaped one form of control, only to find herself in another. Though different from being the maiden, she remains a political pawn, now leveraged to free Castile's brother. The bloodstone-spiked bodies lining Haven Keep's hallway underscore the violence. Poppy confronts her morality when she admits feeling little sympathy for those who laughed during her torture. From blood and ash, we will rise, embodies rebirth through destruction. Everything familiar to Poppy has burned away, yet from these ashes emerges a new self, defined by choices rather than function. Poppy's journey from veiled symbol to sword-wielding warrior reveals the painful process of shedding imposed identities to discover one's authentic self.